Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Do you cry at weddings? And I don't mean those Megyn Kelly reading off a teleprompter fake tears. I mean real tears. I know someone who cries at weddings. True tears. And she always has mints in her purse. When I turn to her and ask her, honey, you got a mint? She's got them. But my wife isn't alone. Many cry at weddings. Guys, too. Guys cry now. And guys cry at weddings, too. You know who's also crying? Taxpayers are crying at the marriage of J.B. Toilets Pritzker and Boss Madigan. Have you seen Bruce Rauner's commercial, Unholy Union, showing Madigan and Pritzker stand-ins getting married by a judge who drops the F-bomb? And that's the controversy, the F-bomb. Political scientists are stunned. Gay activists are outraged. Come on, everybody. I thought it was a good ad. It gets to the point with humor. But will it help Bruce Rauner get elected? I don't think so. Nationally, of course, with November elections approaching, the Democrats don't want to talk about those migrants moving to the southern border. Instead, they have their own rhetorical weapon. Trump is a bomber. They're blaming him for the packages and bombs sent to the prominent Democrats. That's like me blaming Bernie Sanders for Steve Scalise and all the congressmen getting shot up last year or 2 years ago. The media joins in, condemns his outrage, forgets other suspicious packages sent to many Republicans, forgetting the attempted massacre of those Republican congressmen. Think about that. Think of how it plays. Think of how it's used. Because you're being played. All sides, all the time. It's called politics. The November elections approach, and then for us, immediately comes the main event, the Chicago mayoral election. Rahm Emanuel's doing his farewell tour. Bye, Rahm. Sorry to see you go. Bill Daley, lobbyist, son of boss and brother of boss, now is the ethics champion. He wants term limits. Susana Mendoza is running for two offices. Tony Preckwinkle is running for two offices. Preckwinkle's problems continue. The black vote is not monolithic, as Chance the Rapper told us. And don't believe Wikipedia. I have not withdrawn from my campaign for mayor. Treasure for me, taxes for you. Hashtag cast for mayor. We'll talk about all that, except my campaign, of course, with Pat Brady, former chairman of the Illinois Republican Party, and with my buddy and co-host, Jeff Carlin, executive producer of the WGN Rokon Show with Anna DeVellantis. I'm John Cass, husband, father, a man fascinated by Swedish horror stories, and nationally syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune. And I say that only to ignore and inspire the rage of the angry left that wants me taken off page two. And I know where you are. You're a taxpayer on that street, alone, the one with the potholes and no lights and the tough guys on the corner. And you don't know where to go, but you know where you are. You're on the Chicago way. On WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Yeah, Castle, okay. We welcome now Pat Brady, former chairman of the Illinois Republican Party, former prosecutor on both state and federal levels, and the principal, president, founder of Next Generation Strategies.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I had to drop in the plug because, you know, I don't pay you, you know. But I do wonder if, can you be my mayoral, my consultant for my mayoral campaign?
Yeah, I just get 12% of the media buy.
See, I thought Axelrod only got 10.
He's Axelrod. You know. Who's Axelrod?
Jeff. Jeff.
You're a much more challenging candidate than Barack Obama.
I don't know. I can't play. Look, I can't play soccer, and I do have a backstory, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the kind of candidate Axelrod loves. Nobody would, you know, a clean slate that he could, make, you know, reach down and take that clay and form it into his own image.
Yeah, you've written too many words over the decades.
You'd be what?
You've written too many words that have been made public.
Yeah.
That might come back to haunt you.
Well, I did write about Bill Ayers. He was a terrorist bomber, wasn't
he? Yes, he was, and that's a funny
thing. Convicted, right? But, Trump. Trump did it. Jeff Carlin?
Oh, yeah, Trump did it. No. Yeah, I understand what your point in your monologue there was, that the media is blaming him, but I don't think that that's even accurate.
CNN is blaming him. Come on. Jeff Zucker came out and said it, and they arrested a guy.
Yeah.
So we'll find out.
Well, we may even know who the political leanings of this person by the time this airs, but the media, CNN specifically, is stupid for falling into that rabbit hole to begin with. I mean, you knew Trump was going to come out and blame them. And blame media and say blame somebody who was in front of those crowds at those rallies. And for them to respond to it, I mean, we talk about all the time, it dampens their credibility.
That's the problem. When I don't mind if columnists getting, you know, blame people, I do that too. You know, that's what I get paid for, to have an opinion. But Pat Brady, you've seen this, and I know you're not a Trump fan, but you've seen this time and time again. A decent gentleman like George Bush, a gentleman's gentleman, gets savaged. Nazi, baby killer. They show his, you know, hang his head, hang him in effigy, burn him. The most horrible things that were said about Mitt Romney. Remember
Harry
Joe
Reid
Biden?
Got on and accused him of tax fraud. See, I know there are tax violations. On the Senate,
floor.
Yeah, on the floor. I was just kidding. Sorry, I didn't mean that.
And what about Joe Biden? You got to drop that in there. Joe Biden. I remember seeing it. They'll put y'all back in chains.
Oh, yes.
Put y'all.
Yes.
Talking
to
black people he was a preacher.
Well, remember Hillary? Hillary used to pick up the Southern drawl. If you go back, just did this a couple weeks ago, watch some old clips of her.
Mm-hmm. Pecan pie.
Pecan pie, stand by your man. Oh, man.
Obama did that too. Remember there were two Obamas? There was the urban Obama, and then there was the presidential Obama.
I like the Al Green Obama.
Then the Al Green Obama, right?
So in love with you. That's me, singing to you, man.
I know, thanks. We need Kristen McQuarrie to make that work.
What's going to happen with that Obama library now that Rahm is gone?
I don't know. Are we going to have to pay for it?
I'm not
paying for anything else.
I'm not paying for a temple to a living god. Come on, man.
Well, usually those libraries they set foundations up and build them on their own. It's not like it's a problem raising money, so I don't know why.
Riskers.
That's another story. But usually that's how they work it, so I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, this isn't a library, so it doesn't fall into that category, because there won't be any books.
Well, there's not any books in any library anyway. Are you no kidding?
I remember when they built the Harold Washington Library, and I went over there, sent me over there to do a story, and I said, where are the books? They're like, pardon me? What are they going to sell in that library, Pat? Tchotchke? Obama bobbleheads?
Maybe we got going to the NFL Hall of Fame or something. They'll have like greatest moments and pictures of waxed figures of Rahm and all the people that were in his administration.
We got
great
moments.
They'll definitely have a situation room where you can watch the Bin Laden tape, and you can be like in the room and take your picture like next to Hillary or
Bill Daly's the one in the
right
suit. Everyone else is in shirt sleeves because they know it's a dramatic moment.
Right.
For TV.
Then to know that. Reverend Al Green was here. So in love with you.
We're going to talk politics today, huh?
No, a lot of politics. We're down to crunch time in Illinois. I think the winds have shifted. It's been a good couple weeks for Republicans.
It's been a good couple weeks. For Bruce Rauner, I'd say.
Yeah.
Ever since this guy, John Cass, wrote a column, I think last weekend, saying either you come back and vote for Rauner or you get Pritzker.
Yeah, and you get a tax increase. The election night when he won the primary, I was doing in studio at GNTV, and I listened to his speech, the whole speech, and I was kind of taking notes going, Everything he promised in that speech will cost about $47 billion. And our budget right now is, what, $35 billion. And it actually came close to being true. They figured out for everything he's promised, that's another $10 billion in tax revenue they're going to need to pay for it, which
you're
is
talking about Pritzker.
Pritzker, which is about a 2% tax increase. So if you want to think about it this way, when you go to vote, take two of your paychecks if you get paid every week, or one if you get paid every 2 weeks. Just take it and endorse it over to the state of Illinois, because that's what JB is going to take from you, at least.
And will they? But will JB be like Jim Edgar, and Republican, Cellini, Republican, and let's, for the record, Pat Brady did not go run that way, but did? I remember Edgar coming to the Tribune editorial board selling his tax swap. I'm going to raise your income taxes, and we'll. And I, at the editorial board, I piped up. I'm not supposed to talk there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can talk, but I mean it's their thing. And I said, Governor, I was political writer then. Governor, you're going to. I mean the suburbs are going to pay more, right? And he stammered because it was true.
Sure.
The suburbs would pay more.
You just get all the debt on the suburbs, and then they have to come up with the funds. It's property tax increase.
Yeah.
Which you can't increase your property taxes anymore. I pay more in property taxes this year than I paid in my first year all salary as an assistant state's attorney 30 years ago. I mean, it's ridiculous. And at least where I am, the schools are good, but in other places they aren't. But I don't. How much more can you take? 10% sales tax in the city, raising the income tax from a little under 5 to a little under 7. Every other tax they're going to raise. The red light cameras. I can't tell how many tickets I've gotten in the last year from suburbs in the city for red lights.
It's because you're speeding on Ogden Avenue.
I mean, I'm a pretty
good
driver. I haven't had an accident in 30 years. From one municipality or the other. I got a ticket. I did get a ticket a couple years ago going through McHenry County, and the fees were $350.
I was up in Milwaukee last weekend, and it blew my mind. I stayed the night, stayed at a hotel, went out to dinner, went to a concert. Whole thing up there blew my mind that the taxes that I didn't have to pay. I mean, I had budgeted an extra like 30% of what we were going to cost of everything for taxes. I'm like, oh, yeah, taxes. If I go out, I got to pay 30 extra percent, you know? And it was like 3.5%, 5%. The state's going to stop letting people leave the state because once they see where other places where the taxes are lower,
they're leaving now.
Well, I know, but I'm saying that. I mean, I hadn't really left the state much, you know. Yeah, yeah. And now that I did, I'm like, holy crap, there's another world out there where I don't have to pay.
Yeah, go across the border in Wisconsin this summer, buy gas in Harvard, Illinois, or drive across to Lake Geneva and see what the price difference is.
What about the road builders?
Yeah,
you know those guys. How you doing? I got my trucks. I got to move the earth. I got those contracts. I got Illinois.
Well, you know, we do need infrastructure. We need some improvements in infrastructure. I get.
They don't need it in Wisconsin.
No, but they can actually afford it, and they're not. They don't have a pension debt and deficit like we do. That, I mean, the drivers are of the debt, or you know what they are. But the point is, I haven't heard of one J.B. Pritzker reform.
I haven't either.
Not one.
Okay, let's get into this. The ad.
Not even term limits.
Let's go to the ad first.
Repeat after me. I, Mike Madigan, take you, J.B. Pritzker, as my unlawful partner in destruction to raise property taxes, corrupt government, and bankrupt Illinois' future.
Done. Deal.
And I, J.B. Pritzker, take you, Mike Madigan, to honor and obey till death do us part.
Always have, always will.
By the power vested in me, I now pronounce Illinois.
Mike Madigan and J.B. Pritzker, an unholy union Illinois can't afford.
Unholy alliance. I happen to like it. What do you guys think?
I liked it because we are where we are in the campaign, and it illustrates a point that I think people need to realize that this is what it is. I mean, this
marriage.
It's a marriage. Now, I didn't like to particularly care for the F-bomb at the end, but I don't really, to me, it's like lighten up.
We're already way past that.
Yeah, I mean that's a thing. You know Brian Altimer. You know Brian Altimer, and you know he grew up in Englewood, still lives in Englewood, and all of the people, all of his friends, people they're like, oh, how can you not vote for JB? And that's what he wants to say because the state's going to be bleeped, you know, if we vote for something like this. And that ad was right on time because we were talking about that and how there are lots of people who just don't even think about it. They just, oh, yeah, he's a nice guy, so let's go with him. He cares for everybody.
Here's what I like about it. It focuses on the main problem, which is this alliance. Madigan, his deal was, anybody wants to run for governor, you better bring out crap load of money, dump trucks full, because I've got my state rep races to run too. So after JB said his terrible things about African Americans on that tape with Blagojevich, like, oh, they're not good enough. Yeah, or whatever.
Jesse White's the most acceptable, or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Because you got that African American problem, yeah, or whatever. And then JB had to run around the whole South Side and West Side with, like, I don't know, bundles of 50s and 100s.
Yeah,
dropping them in the.
Well, remember, go back to 2010. Quinn did the same thing, but it was with tax dollars. Remember the Neighborhood Recovery Initiative? And it was in August of 2010. He discovered there was a gang problem.
Yeah, and so we spent. I still don't know what happened to that $52
million. But what I don't know what happened, there was an ongoing federal investigation in 2010. It must have gone up.
I'm sick of the feds. But there's another thing, guys, and that is I still don't think, the reason why I wrote that column last week about Madigan and Rauner was to impress on people, hopefully, that if you, any other state might be a different deal. I'm not trying to be partisan about this, but in this state, you vote for a Democrat for state rep, all you're really doing is saying, I want Mike Madigan to be my daddy. That's all you're saying.
Right.
Don't people get this?
I think they get it more now than they did in 2008 or 10 or any previous year. I think they do understand it. But the very powerful institutions that can turn out the vote like it.
The unions like it. And that's it's really that. Unfortunately, because I got friends who are in the unions too, and I worry about them down the line when they're getting 10 cents on the dollar for their pensions and it all falls apart. But it's taxpayers versus union now.
Yeah, and
it's too bad.
I've always wondered, and I'm not advocating this, but can't the pension system go bankrupt? I would assume it can. The pensions themselves.
It's a fund. It's got to run out. It can run out of money.
Yeah,
about the Salinis and the Rosenbergs and other guys who are the pension managers? Will they lose funds?
Well, the thing with the pension, the two things that always irritated me were the 3% COLA.
Oh, guaranteed in perpetuity.
Compounded.
And if you look at, like, I'd say somebody retires as a judge at 180 grand a year with full health care and a COLA.
And doesn't drop a gun out of their pocket.
Right.
He's my hero in the state's attorney's office. Anyway, think about what they're making 20 years out. What, about 350 grand?
Yeah.
In retirement at 80.
Hey, Rich Daly wakes up with $500 in his shoe every day.
Is that what his is?
Yeah. And his brother is, Rauner, does Rauner win the election?
I don't think so. I think it comes down to message, and message not just in the last 6 months or 8 months. I mean, go back a year or two when he and Madigan, and he hasn't done enough to show what he's worked on and what he's done to make the state better.
He's tried.
He's absolutely tried, but I think he's fallen into the trap where, you know, the Democrats start playing the games where, oh, he's putting people in nursing homes at risk, and he's doing all these things, and all these people are losing their jobs, and all this bad stuff's happening in the state. And then that's all that's resonated with people, with voters. They're like, well, look at all the terrible things he's done. He let people almost die. And, you know, they've got the nursing home issues, and you've got the retirement home and the veterans home stuff. And he's dwelled on that other than saying, listen, what we're doing, we're pulling the Band-Aid off of a terrible gaping wound that is this state. And it's going to hurt. But when we heal, we're going to be that much better. And he hasn't focused enough on that. And I think that has given people a reason to say, what did he do? He hasn't done anything.
Well, Pat, what do you think? By the way, are you contracted with Rauner's campaign?
No, despite what your buddy puts in his crappy newspapers.
Hey, both my buddies.
I know. Well, he put that in his rotten little newspaper, and it's not true.
But you're not.
I'm not on anybody.
Okay, I just wanted to ask you.
I know. I know. Sorry.
Don't get upset with me.
I think he can. I agree with Jeff somewhat that the message, the Democrats and JB and the $170 million he spent, they've been very effective in just stepping on his throat and not letting him up, which is what you need to do in politics. And now remember, too, JB's outspent him 3-1. So this is not, when they say the most expensive race in the world, it is, but it's because JB spent $170 million. That being said, there's been a real shift, and I was out walking myself in precincts, and I've talked to a lot of people. There's been a real sea change since the Kavanaugh hearings in the enthusiasm of Republicans. It's basically even right now, where we had been down 10 points versus Democrats. So, yeah, he can win. I think I do think Erica Harold's got a real chance to win, too, for attorney general. So we'll wait and see. We see who shows up. These polls in the...
Well, that means Kwame will run for mayor.
He could.
Oh, come on, man.
I think all these people running for mayor, they have to get 25,000 signatures.
Yeah.
And if
you're running out of people.
Well, you don't have no. Literally, if you only had 500,000 people vote and you have that many candidates, you have to get every vote.
And I take the red line on the bus every day. And so there's always somebody there and they're always proffering for another candidate. And you're like, okay. So if everybody who's coming through signs every day, you're going to only have 200 names on there, and they're all going to be the same for every candidate.
You can only sign once.
Right. And the people don't know that. They just sign. They don't care. It's insane. But Erica Harrell, I think you're right. I think she's got a really good chance, especially because of the whole Kwame, corruption, I'm not going to seek it out thing. And
I'm not going to go fishing for it.
I'm not going to go fishing for it. Which,
God, he sounds like Lisa Madigan's brother.
All right, two points. I think, and this is just my own opinion on how people vote, they don't like straight ticket, like the old days when you could punch 176 or whatever it was. Punch 10, yeah. And I think the message, especially her last two commercials where she talked about being independent and I'll be a check, I think that really, 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 really resonates. And the commercials that I think have been very good that Kwame's done in pointing out her positions on some of the social issues, they just don't stick to her because she's such a pleasant She's has such a pleasant persona, and
she's no Ann Coulter.
No, but you know what? She appeal, I think, to professional women. She always dresses like a professional. She acts like a professional, and
she's very well spoken.
She's Miss America. I mean, you got to have some talent.
Absolutely.
Can I say she's gorgeous? Is that like dirty old man of me?
You can.
She's Miss America. Damn it. Okay. Yeah,
and
she just looks
like she has a symmetric face, so she makes her look good.
That's why the phrenologist of WGN. Right here studies the heads of
that's
people.
What they say. That's why things they look even and symmetrical, and that's
like Elizabeth Taylor was the perfect
exactly thing. Right.
But look at and listen and watch her. She never drops. She never does an like I do all the time or anybody else.
Yeah,
like whatever. She just is so very good. And not she's went to Harvard.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was going to go there. I couldn't get in. I mean, come on. She went to Harvard Law School.
Look at what they value and look at their budget. And what they're proposing. Romney wants to let he said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put you all back in chains.
Coming this November, there's a chance to make a change. It's a lady that you picked last time turned out to be a little strange. It's all about the Gucci now and how they run the show. You're a customer, not satisfied, then it's time for them to go. You got to
vote. Speaking of elections now, we're going to have the mayor's race. Bill Daley is out as the champion of ethics now. What do you think, guys? Isn't he? Billy?
Hey, listen, I like Bill Daley.
I've
always liked Bill Daley. I think he's a good guy. And you know what? Maybe the history or whatever there wouldn't make you think that he's going to do that, but Nixon went to China. I mean, you got to do, there are things I think they're very smart political moves.
They're very smart political moves because no one else is saying it. And what I found funny was Bill saying last week that we should have term limits. Okay. We've had
the Daley family? Some of the Daley family? What?
We had, half a century of Daleys,
at least.
But now we want term limits. But the other thing.
Is it name term limits or actual physical? We got some. You know, I used to give a speech when I was party chairman. In fact, I did it in 2010. I went down the list of family member names in the city, and I had a full legal pad full of names.
Oh, man.
Because you think about it, you go, Madigan, Cullerton, at the time. I wish I still had the list, but it was a full legal pad.
I would like to see a Daley family tree. I would think that some candidate will do that. But the...
Doesn't the grandson look like the mayor?
Oh,
Daley?
God, he looks like
just like
man,
him.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I saw him with a fedora and smoking a cigar. Come on, you're 30 years old. What are you doing?
But he was walking.
Knock it off. Put
Columbus Day parade. He looked just like him.
Patrick Thompson.
Yeah.
But the other thing I thought Daley said was very interesting. They were both interesting, but the one that he said. The argument that he makes that Tony Preckwinkle, or Tex Winkle, as you know, or Tony Tex Winkle, chairman of the Cook County Board, is running for re-election as the Cook County Board chairman. And Susana Mendoza, Mike Madigan's adopted daughter, is running for Illinois comptroller. And both are also running for mayor, let's be honest. So you run for one office and you I lose, but then I'm still, I'll go back and do the first office I was running for.
Okay, so
is that fair?
No, and it's but I would assume that Madigan holds the cards on whether Mendoza's actually going to do it. Does he really want her to do it? I mean, she's in a spot, she can be very valuable to him.
He can pick the next one.
Well, no, there's an election. Remember, the law changed because Judy Bart Topinka died. Madigan changed the law to have someone run.
A special election.
Special election. I think because it was before 2 years. I may be wrong on this, but yeah. They did change the law so there would be an election at 2 years and not... Was Leslie appointed by Browner?
Yeah, I think
yeah, she was appointed, but she had to run and she lost to Mendoza. Yeah. So I think the law has changed. So he doesn't have that in a presidential year.
But if Pritzker's the... Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
But still, should you run for one office and not... And can you run for, is it fair, Jeff, to run for two offices at the same time? Or is it more like this? Please, sir, may I have another? Please, sir, may I have another? I mean, it's mocking the taxpayers and the citizens to do something like that, no?
I mean, I in theory, yeah. Obviously, I think it's ultimately unfair, but.
Ultimately, you're lying, too.
Right.
Because no one's saying, nobody's really admitting it.
Right, yeah. But I think the Constitution would say it's, you know, freedom of speech, and ultimately, you know, anybody can run for any office that shouldn't disqualify.
It's honorable. But she
no,
did
I
say,
don't think so either. But I don't think you're ever going to get a law to change it. Yeah,
you're looking for honor in a whorehouse,
yeah, right?
Boy.
Yeah,
but
hey, what about her
statement?
Preckwinkle's no, her SUV.
Let's get first. I don't want to miss that SUV because I don't know what was in it. But first, Mendoza says. I will, if Pritzker does not win for governor, I'm staying in as comptroller. Like she's going to fight off Rauner as comptroller. I mean, was that kind of laughable? I don't know. And I like her. She's a very
personable. It's political. It's politics. She had to give an answer, and that's her answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then what's the follow? I mean, you're a reporter. What's the follow-up question? She gave you an answer.
Do you honestly think the comptroller is going to stop fight off the governor?
I mean, actually, the comptroller has a lot of power to mess with the governor.
But who is the real comptroller? Some guy with a white shirt with rolled up sleeves.
No, but I mean,
Irish guy.
Exactly. But that's exactly right. But they do have they can really mess with the governor's agenda.
Because who gets paid, Jeff?
Exactly. When they get paid, really.
It's all about when they get paid and what order, and that's the Chicago wing.
That sure is.
But tell me this now. What about Mr. Brady brought this up. The black SUV in the ditch was abandoned with Tony Preckwinkle's security staff. And inside the car was Kim Fox stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that car, anybody explain why they left it?
Nobody's explained it yet.
That's a Chicago way.
Why?
Who's asking?
It's the car ferry.
Could it have been someone like, I'm just hypothetically not saying about that car.
Yeah.
But say another car, another SUV owned by a politician with political stuff in it. And if I was a security staff and I was kind of lit up from work, I'm saying another one, not that one.
Yeah.
And say I had a few beers or something and cop pulls me over.
I take off.
And then I just get out and run, right? Or copper, you say, look, man, I work for the boss. Remember when Bauer was killed and she was walking around on all four corners outside the medical examining office shaking hands with police? I've never seen anything like that in my life. But, I mean, I'm speaking about hypothetically.
Yeah,
what the hell's going on here?
You ever seen her cutting a funeral line?
You know, I've never seen Ed Burke cut in a funeral line. I've never seen Tom Donovan. I've never seen Mike Madigan cut Rich Daley, Bill Daley, Paul Vallis, Dean Vallis, the Joyces. I've never seen any of them ever cut in a funeral line.
Well, I've seen hypothetically, and it did not go unnoticed. You go there, you stand, you shake hands, you pay your respects.
You're not there to politic.
Yeah, you don't come in two SUVs.
One for your person, one for your A bottle of Coke or a can of Cokes?
No, it's quite a procession.
So what is that car about?
I don't know, but I kind of agree with your hypothetical. That's probably what it is. Nothing good. The interesting thing is the inconsistencies about calling to find out about our hypothetical person's safety. There's some inconsistencies there.
Yeah, I love the line in the story is that the security chief says that, or allegedly or hypothetically says that, the car was stolen, we never reported it, but it happened to be stolen by somebody who was supporting Kim Fox, I'm assuming.
Pardon?
Well, in the report, the security chief says the car was stolen, and they never reported it.
Right, because you're working for Kim Fox with the county car, right, trying to get her elected.
Right.
Yeah, it's always something. It's always something.
What am I missing about?
We're missing. Here's what we're missing. Why does the Democratic nominee for governor get to cheat on his taxes and steal taxpayer money and get away with it?
Toilets.
If that were you or me, I'd be in the penitentiary. That is a fraud.
Why does a man throw his wife under the bus when he gets caught pulling toilets out of his house?
Yeah, how about that? So he's a $330,000 tax break.
Pritzker, we're talking about. Pritzker, toilets,
right?
Pritzker.
Right, and so he walks, it was a clerical mistake. You know, we were thinking that we were working in a process, and he caught us in the middle. But then we've got, let's look at the Jackson, Jackson Jr. Supposedly he didn't declare, and he took from his campaign.
Both went to the penitentiary.
And they both went to a penitentiary? Are you kidding me?
Well, it's two systems of justice. That's my point. And I made the same point about the aldermen, all the people that I've seen in the years go to jail.
Oh, the little fish.
Yeah. First of all, by giving the money back, he's admitted.
Right. Oh, yeah. Did.
But to me, and I did the press conference on this, those affidavits were fraudulent. And they went back. There's one email where the Mrs. Pritzker says, rip these things out so we can get the appraisal done, and put one back so JB has somewhere to go when he's in the house. I mean, that's fraud.
Right.
Fraud.
Right.
That's a and it's not, this is a Democrat. Democratic appointed inspector general, and it's not, I didn't cite the federal statutes, he did. He cited conspiracy and perjury and 371 conspiracy and tax fraud or whatever. So
you're saying, as a advocate for Rauner, but also as a former prosecutor, federal prosecutor, you're saying that Pritzker committed, there's a good case to be made that Pritzker committed tax fraud, federal tax or tax fraud, and should go to the camp.
It'd just be a mail or wire fraud. And in the report, they actually found, you know, how you could get jurisdiction for mail or wire. There has to be a mailing or a wire or a phone call, or whatever.
And there was.
And there was. And it was in the report. The point, it's not just me, and it's not just as a Rauner supporter. I talked to another former U.S. attorney, not just a guy like me, but a guy who was actually appointed. And we went down, he goes, oh my, there's all kinds of stuff in here. But
is that why Pritzker throws his wife under the bus and lets her be the fall guy?
Well, this is what they did. They the documents are his wife and some other people, and the property's owned in a trust, so there's insulation. But it doesn't matter. He when this all broke 18 months ago, he admitted to knowledge of what had happened and said it was all fine. So there's no issue of his involvement. He already admitted it, and he admitted it again by paying it back. My point of frustration is, like you just said, the two systems of justice. If this were me, I'd be going to jail. If this were you or any of us, we'd be going to jail. JB pays it back. You know, and maybe Kim Fox is actually going to look at it. Maybe the
feds. She's not going to look at it. No. Come on.
You know what's even worse than that? Here's another.
Look, I like Kim, but she's Tony Preckwinkle's guy. And Tony Preckwinkle's Pritzker's guy, and it's not going to happen.
So if Erica Harrell wouldn't, can she go after this? Or is, I don't know how the jurisdiction works on that.
Yeah, she has jurisdiction. This brings
it's
me to the point.
It's a job for the FBI.
It's a job. This is a federal
FBI
job.
The
state's attorney could probably do it quicker because their processes are quicker. But here's another thing that I hope in our last appearance before the election. Lisa Madigan going down to Quincy, Adams County, whatever it is, and suggesting that she wanted to open an investigation into Governor Rauner for the Quincy Veterans Home. That needs to be remembered whenever she runs again or whenever she gets a federal appointment. Because
that
is the biggest abuse of her power I could ever imagine.
Why?
She's never investigated a corruption case in her 16 years in office. And on the eve of an election, an even election, she decides to go down and ask the state's attorney to initiate an investigation. And she went around this state for 16 years and told people she did not have the authority to do corruption investigations. But right when there's an election coming up, 2 weeks, 3 weeks out, she goes down and makes a request for it. That right there, that is what is wrong with the state. That's what's wrong with Lisa Madigan. When she runs for appellate court, you need to remember this, because this, to me, was such an abuse of the power of that office.
She never investigated her dad.
She never investigated anybody.
She never investigated anybody because her dad's the boss, and anybody she'd investigate are her dad's puppets. Meat puppets.
You remember it was 2004 when she ran against Joe Burkett, which was her last contested race. She said, I'm going to, I don't care. She said to, who's the Sun-Times reporter that passed away? Jack Roser? Tom Roser.
Tom Roser.
He's a great guy. Rest his soul. He said to her, she said to him, I will investigate my father. And he wrote a column on how cold-hearted that was, but she would actually do
Tom
that.
Tom Roser, the former Republican.
She was a conservative.
Pundit, yeah.
But this is the stuff, in addition to the JBs, that drives me absolutely nuts that she gets a pass on this. And
why has she always gotten a pass? Lisa Madigan has always gotten a pass from the media in this town. Why is that?
I have no idea. You know what? The media I talk to, though, now and in the last 4 or 5 years, I think they get the joke on her and how ineffective she's actually been. It's nice to do a press conference and jump on an Elliot Spritzer indictment. I remember once.
Whatever's
going to get her headline. But I remember once. I'm sorry, this just gets me going so much.
That's all right.
Shot out a press release on where's Lisa Madigan's gang platform. This is, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, still party chairman. The next day, she hops onto a press conference with a bunch of DEA and FBI agents. Because she's never done... We have the worst gang problem in the country right here.
Oh, yeah.
What has Lisa Madigan done ever about the gang problem here? If you've seen anything or anything about the Attorney General Task Force to deal with the gang problem? No. And she has never gotten called out for it. So when she tries to run again, this stuff all has to be remembered.
When the gangs, from the history of this city, as you guys know, from the time the first rock was thrown at 31st Street... off the Bridgeport Beach, and the white kids killed the black guy who was swimming, and we had the worst race riot in the history of this country. Gangs have been heavily invested in Democratic politics. Street gangs. It's just part of the deal.
Right, it's part of the culture, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, and if you go into it, I mean, you don't know. You start turning over rocks, you don't know where you're going to, you're going to see.
I just, I think with that gang thing,
and Quinn, with what you said earlier,
neighborhood recovery,
$50 million
that went into. They didn't give it to the. They didn't even give it to the alderman. They just gave it to the
directly to the community. Whatever that means. Guys with clipboards running around driving BMWs now.
In and out before tax free income.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why. And the one thing I agree with Jeff on, maybe the governor hasn't gotten his message out good enough on what he's done. He's actually done a lot of good things in the operations of the state.
Absolutely.
A lot of good things that JB is going to be the beneficiary of if he wins.
And JB doesn't have to pass taxpayer funded abortion because Governor Rauner's already signed it.
Yeah, that was.
There were mistakes made, right? Political mistakes. I mean,
yeah, probably there was probably a compromise there that could have avoided the primary. I think there was a compromise.
I think the problem with that whole thing was when it came down to it, it was already it wasn't stopped at the beginning.
Well, Madigan's been holding that for a long time.
Right. Madigan started it.
Yeah.
And I don't think the governor had the right staff at the beginning. I'm not trying to be against those guys.
No.
But I think there were things going on, a lot of moving parts that people don't get.
Staff that made the decision on that was not the initial staff. The initial staff,
I know that.
Good. Yeah, he had some people in there that were completely incompetent. The Policy Institute people were just an absolute bust.
And what about the Kirk people?
Kirk people actually kept him, I think, pretty much on track. It blew up. Here's the deal. Here's the timeline. In July of a year ago, he vetoed the tax increase. And the House overrode it. And I remember I was literally driving down to a fundraiser.
15 Republicans.
Yeah, 15.
Right?
Yeah.
That he funded.
Yeah, but most of them are gone. The point of the story is this. I go, okay, here we are. He's done these things. He vetoed the tax increase. Stay with this. Then he did the purge right after that and brought the Policy Institute people in who were completely incompetent. And they were all gone in 4 months.
Yeah.
So that 4 months, I think, hurt him more than the previous people that were minding the store.
I would say that he said he wouldn't get involved. The reason why I backed him, and I did the right. first time, and I kind of, you know, said people should come back to him. But the reason why I had a problem with him was the horrendous move there on taxes. I mean, abortion. The way he handled the G-Knives thing. It's all water under the bridge now. What happens to the Republican Party? As a former chairman, someone who's concerned about the party, after this is over, if the governor does not win, what happens to the party itself?
Well, that's a good
question.
More
fighting between you guys and the conservatives, more, you know what I mean, contentious, or is it like, hey, the moderate, the fiscal conservative moderates socially have lost, and now what? What do we do?
Well, that's a good question. There's probably a lot of answers, and a lot of it depends on what happens, because there's a scenario that Governor Rauner wins, and we continue on. There's a scenario that Governor Rauner loses, and Erica Harold wins. She's the party. Erica Harold is as conservative as anybody you're going to see.
The next gubernatorial candidate, then.
I don't know. Maybe not. Sure. But I think she can do, the sky's the limit for somebody with her abilities. But then that's the party. And then there's another question that I think, as a former party chairman, that I would ask those that are interested in supporting Republicans. The party structure itself, if Jeannie Ives, and listen, I've made peace. I ran into Jeannie outside Union League Club, gave her a big hug. We had a great talk. Had a great discussion and argument, and gave her a hug and left. But the party structure, is it worth the time? Is it really worth the time when you go down to the convention like I did last time, and there are 900 people that supposedly represent the entire millions of Republicans in the state, and the platform that comes out of there is a platform you can't win on in the state? So I think there's a real question in this analysis. Maybe there's a way that the party is what the party is, and there's another way to get Republicans elected without... The party is what it is.
And the Democratic Party after the election? It's still, is Mike Madigan alive? That's what it is, right? Mike Madigan's still alive?
Right.
And he's the party.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're so institutionally strong. I mean, they know how to win. And the thing that the difference that Rauner made, and I think the reason he won and we had a good success 2 years ago, is we closed better. In 2010, had we closed stronger, Mike Madigan would have been gone. There were 5,000 votes. We had big year that year. But we just didn't close strong. Madigan always... Listen, love or hate the guy. The guy knows his business.
Think of this, Jeff Carlin. Mike Madigan could have the governor in one hand, fat boy of the toilets. In the other hand, he could have the mayor of Chicago, because Susana Mendoza will come in. That's his guy.
What about Gary Chico?
It's Burke. Burke's just, he's just there because Burke wants to be protected against Chuy Garcia, right? So... Leave me alone, and he'll drop out.
Chico always seemed like a pretty smart guy, though. I mean, like a guy that's could actually get things done.
He's a guy who's a lobbyist, and
don't get too down the line.
Yeah, but you're not running. If you're running for office, I go through all your clients too. But the point is, you've got Madigan with Rauner in one hand, and Mendoza, who's going to be the new fresh face of politics, in the other. Right after this election.
She will be. And whatever you think of her on either side, she will be. And I've seen her speak, as you have many times. She makes a good case for herself.
Can she run the city from day one without Mike? I mean, like, Mike.
Does Madigan really care about the city?
Yeah, I think so. Because it's called Madigan, Getzendanner, and he's got one quarter or one third of all the downtown real estate in this town, and all that TIF money and all that affects it.
You know, he's the last ward boss in the country. There's nobody left like this.
Sheldon Silver's gone to prison yet? I don't know.
The guy in
New York.
Yeah, but he's the last.
The same guy.
Yeah, he's the same guy, but he's the last.
Really?
So we should cherish him, is what you're saying.
We should cherish him like Spencer Tracy, the last hurrah.
But listen, I'm on the other side of the fence, but you got to give, to a certain extent, you got to give him some credit for that. I mean,
I respect him very much.
Yeah,
and he likes Palermo's on 95th. I mean, he can't be all bad. But I do respect the guy. He works harder.
He works his ass off. He's smarter.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I mean, everything we've talked about, all of the hurdles that Rauner's had to jump.
He is the Chicago way.
Yeah, he is the Chicago way. But those hurdles were put in place by Madigan. I mean, that's...
We.
I grew up watching him, studying him. from the time I was a kid. I mean, the guy's amazing. He's like, Vrdoljak was the best street fighting politician I've seen, since, and then Trump now. And Madigan's the best long-term strategist guy.
Yeah. It's always a long view. And the whole...
He's like China.
Exactly. When we started the Fire Madigan stuff, so in 2010, the whole goal was just to elevate name ID so people knew, which he's probably at 85% now. But the point is, it doesn't... He's in every ad. I get every mailer, his picture's on there. I mean, he should have trademarked his face. He'd be making a fortune.
Well, he wasn't in the Bridget Fitzgerald ads, you know, when she did the three of the women running for state senators or the House, and they ran ads about, we got to get, you know, have term limits. These are Democrats.
Right.
And then they were told,
you need new ads.
We need new ads. You know, that's nice because that's respecting women.
Oh, yeah.
Tell the women what to do, Mike.
Yeah, and he slipped that news in a hurry.
And they all ignore it, and so do most of the media, except for the world's greatest newspaper, the Chicago Tribune.
Okay, we're sitting up here at the top of this tower looking at... Yeah. I've had the good fortune, because of my work, to travel, see a lot of the world. There's no greater city than where we're sitting right now, and it's such a shame that we're dealing with these fiscal issues and that they don't want to fix.
The city has... it's a beautiful city. It's like a great athlete with a bad illness in the bones. And
torn ACL,
and that's what torn ACL, and I think just my own personal opinion, you don't need an athlete or personalities, athletes, all that stuff. That's really nice, but you better get somebody who actually knows how to do the work,
right? Get the job
and knows without having to rely on some political staffer to tell him, because whenever you got political staffers trying to tell inexperienced people what to do, that means that staffer reports to somebody else who wants something.
Somebody's nephew.
That is the Chicago way, right?
Yeah. Hey, we're at City Club again. Sure. Me and Proft and Kristen.
Get out of here.
November 19th.
19th?
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Just before Thanksgiving.
Now, the last time I was there, I was sitting with Kristen.
She's up on
Kristen
stage.
Kristen and I were sitting again.
She's in the middle.
She's been elevated.
Arranged that? Jay Doherty and Tom arranged
Jay, and
that?
Then Cross is moderating. But we'll see. We'll have some election results.
Wait, so
we'll see if my theories hold the water.
She's on the panel, and who's...
She's sitting between you.
Yes.
These two guys, Proft and Brady, went DEFCON 1 from the beginning. I mean, like, from the beginning, it was like, you know how you've seen a bar fight? A typical bar fight. And the guy really wants to fight, but he knows his friends are going to hold him back, and they both know it, and it's all BS. This one,
there were no
when
friends.
I saw that, it was just one step, boom, right there. It was
straight out of Roadhouse.
There was blood on the floor that day, my friends. I'll tell you.
I think this will be a lively but good discussion. I like Dan. I played a lot of golf with Dan. I just don't agree with him. That's what it's all about, man.
Well, I think...
Kristen will be there. She's smarter than both of us.
Kristen is smarter than both of us.
She's the best writer. She writes the best.
I mean, John Katz is pretty good.
Oh, come on. Nobody cares about that old man.
Do you write his stuff?
Kristen, I like.
Pardon me.
He's the man behind the Casso.
When you mention... you know, Jeff didn't do that song. A guy named Maximus Squirehog. Yes. I don't know him.
Brilliant.
Brilliant, he did it. And, dude, I love you because... How many people have their own
theme song?
And one other thing, on the Wikipedia, it used to say John Cass is running for mayor. Then Wikipedia said John Cass has withdrawn, and now there's nothing. So I don't even trust Wikipedia. It's fake news, because I'm still in. For Pat Brady, chairman of the Illinois Republican Party,
former
federal and state prosecutor, and now principal with Next Generation Strategies. For Jeff Carlin, WGN, executive producer of The Rokan Show with Anna DeVolantis. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, mayoral candidate. I'm terrified of scary movies from Sweden. This has been another edition of your favorite podcast, Behind the Iron Blue Curtain, held by Mike Madigan, The Chicago Way on WGN+.